live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Ukraine's president pleads for more support in person to Congress.
FTX executives plead guilty as their former CEO returns to the U.S.
The largest U.S. chipmaker warns more layoffs are on the way.
And investors hold out hope for a brief Santa Claus rally.
New York Mayor Adams gives himself a B-plus as he defends his record on crime. Plus, the man charged with shooting up a Brooklyn subway car will now plead guilty. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks winning streak came to an end. Easy win for the Nets. The Devils won, and the Jets host Jacksonville tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are little change this morning. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little change. So are NASDAQ and Dow futures. 10-year Treasury up 6.30 seconds, yield 3.63%, and the yield on the two-year, 4.19%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get more on markets in a moment, but we begin this morning with a historic night in Washington. The president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, made an emotional address in person to a joint meeting of Congress. We get the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Standing ovation after standing ovation from both sides of the aisle. The message, Ukraine is alive and kicking, and thanking U.S. families for their support.
And our people will have to go to bomb shelters on Christmas Eve. Ukrainians will still sit down at the holiday table and cheer up each other.
Zelensky says a free world will show all potential aggressors that the world will stand up to tyranny. He says next year will be a turning point of the war. He presented Congress with a flag from the war's front. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Now, this was President Zelensky's first trip outside his country since Russia's invasion back in February. Before the speech, the president paid a visit to the White House, where President Biden stood alongside Zelensky at a joint news conference to pledge his continued support.
I want you to know that all the people of Ukraine to know as well, the American people have been with you every step of the way, and we will stay with you. We will stay with you for as long as it takes.
And the Biden administration also announced nearly $1.9 billion in additional military aid to Ukraine, including a Patriot missile battery. Russian President Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, said Russia has no limitations on its own military spending to continue the war.
Well, Nathan, we're following another story out of D.C. this morning. A group of House Republicans has released a counter report to the House Select Committee's investigation into the January 6th Capitol assault. The 78-page report partly blames Democratic leaders for security failures and says intelligence and law enforcement failures left the Capitol complex vulnerable. The January 6th Committee is expected to release its full report today.
All right, let's turn from the Capitol to crypto, Karen, and get the latest on the FTX collapse. Two top executives have pleaded guilty to criminal charges as the former CEO of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, returns to the U.S. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with that story. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. SBF found himself with fewer friends upon arriving in New York last night as Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang pled guilty to fraud. The plea agreements say prosecutors will recommend reduced sentences if they provide substantial assistance to the investigation. The move puts pressure on Bankman-Fried ahead of his appearance in federal court today on charges of fraud, money laundering, and other counts. His lawyers may seek bail. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. The pivot away from COVID to zero continues in China. This morning, we're learning China plans to cut quarantine requirements for overseas travelers in January. Sources tell us officials are considering a 0+3 policy. That would mean tourists would no longer be required to spend time in a quarantine hotel or isolation facility, and arrivals into the country instead are subject to 3 days of monitoring.
All right, let's take a look at markets now, Karen. Futures are little changed this morning, but global stocks did advance for a third day yesterday as we edge closer to the Christmas holiday. U.S. shares climbed on improved consumer confidence and better-than-expected earnings from FedEx and Nike. Earlier this week, markets snapped a four-day slide sparked by hawkish central bank rhetoric.
In Asia, Nathan, stocks have snapped a losing streak of their own, coming off the Bank of Japan's surprise policy move earlier this week. And Bloomberg's Brian Curtis joins us from Hong Kong with more.
Stocks rallied in Asia, snapping 5 days of declines. The biggest moves were in Hong Kong, where the benchmark index rose about 2.5%. Property companies led the way after regulators said they'd support the sector's growth. Shares also jumped in Japan, South Korea, and Australia. Treasuries rose slightly in Asia as the fallout from the Bank of Japan's surprise policy shift began to ebb. The yen resumed its advance. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Meanwhile, over in Europe, UK households saw their living standards fall amid a contraction in the third quarter. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with that. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Household incomes in the UK have fallen for a fourth straight quarter, leaving Britons on course for the worst period for living standards in memory. Real incomes per head were 3.1% lower in the third quarter from a year earlier. Final GDP data, meanwhile, registered a 0.3% drop in the latest quarter, more than previously estimated. The reading is consistent with economists' expectations that the UK is already in recession. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Well, taking a look at corporate news now, America's largest memory chip maker, Micron Technology, is out with a lackluster revenue outlook and a warning that it'll have to trim its workforce. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner joins us with that story.
The company has already pledged to reduce output and slow expansion projects as a way of limiting the availability of memory chips. Even so, Micron's forecast indicates the glut may drag on given a slump in demand. Sales will be about $80 million below forecast, and Micron is projecting a loss of about 62 cents a share, excluding certain items. That's more than twice what analysts were estimating. Given these challenges, Micron will reduce its workforce by about 10% over the next year. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you again. Futures this morning are a little changed. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 35 degrees in Central Park. It's going to turn rainy and windy this afternoon and into tomorrow. Highs today in the upper 40s, and temperatures will rise through the night as a wind advisory kicks in at 10 this evening. Time to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. And as you mentioned, that's the problem. Millions of Americans taking to the roads and skies before Christmas could face big trouble getting to their destinations on time because of a massive winter storm. Several major hubs, including New York City, are all in the path of the storm and face significant disruptions. This man was headed to Orlando from New York trying to get out ahead of the storm to see his family.
We're going to be together. We've been separated for a long time. He used to live in California before, and now we're going to reunite again and have a good Christmas.
It's not just flights being canceled. Amtrak has scrapped service for dozens of routes. New York City Mayor Eric Adams defended his record on crime, giving himself a B+. In his first year in office, there was a 25% rise in major felonies through December. But Adams says through the top line numbers, they do not tell the whole story, as he highlighted double-digit drops in the high-profile murders and shootings.
Public safety is the foundation of the city. I've used this term over and over again. It's the prerequisite to prosperity. Without it, we won't feel the safety we deserve.
Mayor Adams went on to say that New Yorkers should feel better about the direction we are headed. A New York City court has scheduled a change of plea hearing for next month for the man accused of opening fire on a Manhattan-bound subway train last April. In a letter to the court, his attorney said the alleged New York City subway shooter, Frank James, wants to plead guilty to federal terrorism charges. James was charged with several counts of committing a terror attack on a mass transit system. 10 people were hurt in the shooting. Final CDC data confirms American life expectancy fell for a second straight year in 2021, the worst since 1996. It's driven by accelerating COVID and drug overdose deaths. For the men, it has dropped from 74.2 years to 73.5 years. For women, it's from 79.9 to 79.3. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Time now for our Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. One winning streak ended, another continued. At the Garden, Knicks couldn't stop Toronto's Pascal Siakam. He poured in 52 points. The Raptors ended their six-game losing streak, 113-106. Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett both had 30 points for the Knicks, who had won their previous eight. In Brooklyn, the Nets win streak up to seven, 143-113 over struggling Golden State. The Nets led 91-51 at halftime, 91 first-half points, third most in NBA history. The Devils, three goals third period to win 4-2 at Florida. That ends their six-game slide. St. John's lost at Villanova, 78-63. If the Jets have any hopes of making the playoffs, they have to win tonight. In the rain at MetLife, Jacksonville comes in much improved, led by quarterback Trevor Lawrence. They're only a game out of first in the AFC South. The Jets are a game out for making it as a wild card. Four members of the Jets defense named as Pro Bowlers. They still name the rosters, even though there's no longer a Pro Bowl game. Quinnen Williams, C.J. Mosley, Justin Hardy, and Sauce Gardner is the first Jet rookie Pro Bowler since 1988. Saquon Barkley and Dexter Lawrence named from the Giants. Philadelphia has eight Pro Bowlers. Dallas and Kansas City have seven. When you saw that Derek Jeter was in attendance at the Aaron Judge new contract press conference, you knew there'd be an announcement that Judge would be the first Yankee captain since Jeter.
I'm going to continue to try to be, you know, the same leader that I've been, you know, the past 6 years. Continue to lead by example. And you know, I know there's probably going to be a couple more responsibilities with this, but, you know, I'm here to embrace every single obstacle and, you know, continue to lead this team and lead this city to not one, but, you know, multiple championships down the road.
16th captain in Yankee history. John Stashdale with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. We get more reaction to President Zelensky's visit to Washington next. First, futures have taken a leg, little change now, giving up the gains. S&P futures right now are down by 1 point.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's get back to our top story this morning. It was a dramatic night on Capitol Hill. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky urging lawmakers in the U.S. to keep up their support for his country in person before a joint meeting of Congress.
Against all odds and doom and gloom scenarios, Ukraine didn't fall. Ukraine is alive and kicking.
And we're joined now by Terry Haynes, the founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, quite a moment on Capitol Hill last night. Your reaction to what we heard, what we saw from Ukrainian President Zelensky.
Good morning, Nathan. And it was quite a moment. Of, you know, sort of mutual thanking, mutual support, mutual respect and regard. All those things are very good. You know, we get past that into the really cold light of morning, certainly on the U.S. East Coast. What you're going to see is that also one of the things that President Biden said to Zelensky and to the American public is that they, you know, there won't be any advanced weapons beyond a Patriot missile battery because to do so risks U.S. alliances, quote unquote. There's also continuing interest in what the administration thinks to be its end game. You know, the Russia continues to talk about the potential for settlement. The potential isn't realistic, but you know, you have to wonder what Washington thinks its end game is, and whether it might be enticed by the prospect of a settlement. And of course, as everybody knows, since we're a long way from resolution on the battlefield, you know, that might well look more tempting to the Western allies as time goes on. Entirely legitimate feel-good movement moment here, and for all kinds of, you know, important reasons. But at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, not really much has changed here going forward.
So you don't think that the president's message is going to change many minds then, particularly among the Republicans who have said that once they take control of Congress, if not to continue support for Ukraine, at least to give it more of a skeptical eye, or at least more scrutiny?
Well, I think, you know, let me put it this way. I think it's, you know, it's, well, on the one hand, politics is being played here, and, you know, shocker, right? But, you know, all the way around. But in the end, what Republicans have wanted for some time and continue to want fundamentally is for accountability for the money that's already gone out, the accountability for the money that, you know, will go out with the new omnibus and the new Ukraine package. That's all fair. I mean, that's part of what Congress's job is supposed to be, is to, you know, make decisions on appropriations for national defense, emergency appropriations for, important things like Ukraine. But at the same time, you know, what they really want is accountability. They should get that. The Biden people should prepare to give them a good deal of that. And frankly, President Zelensky should be prepared to give them some of that. I think you will see a great deal of unanimity on Ukraine, and that what ends up happening here is a more regularized process for understanding what United States money is being used for. And that's, you know, I consider that fair.
You got about a minute left here, Terry. Do you think this omnibus bill gets passed before the end of this week? There's been some dispute over Title 42 being included in the package.
Oh, sure. I think it does. Yeah. The Supreme Court certainly has the opportunity to throw a spanner in the works on this, but I think that fundamentally, you know, this omnibus is going to pass. I'd say there's probably about a 10% right now, as we talk, about 10% chance that it won't. But fundamentally, I think it will. I do think the Congress is going to have to be back at it early in the year, regardless, after the Supreme Court rules on whether or not Title 42 should go forward.
So just quickly, when it comes to Ukraine, what do you see as the trajectory for continued support in terms of weaponry for Ukraine in the next Congress? Only about 30 seconds left here.
Yeah, I think that the trajectory for Ukraine weaponry is really that, you know, we will continue to provide what we're already providing. We will continue to provide the Patriot missile battery that we said we would provide. I understand that will take some time to train the Ukrainians up on, but I do not expect that we're going to expand into giving Ukrainians advanced weaponry, because that's what the president said yesterday.
All right, Terry, thanks as always. Good to get your thoughts, particularly on a morning after a historic night like we just had experienced here. Terry Haynes, the founder of Pangea Policy, with us this morning. And we're going to bring you more reaction to the Ukrainian president's appearance in Washington. Michigan Democrat Dan Kildee's thoughts straight ahead here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are turning just a touch lower now, with S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 38, and NASDAQ futures down 9 points. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower this morning, and European shares have erased their gains. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio. Again, S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow futures, pretty much little change. Dow futures now down about 0.1% or 33 points. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 3.64%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.19%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.7%. $1.29 at $79.58 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change, is at $18.24.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.0645 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2091. The yen, 132. And Bitcoin is up 0.3%. It's at about $16,850. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has paid a wartime visit to Washington to thank Americans for helping to fund the war against Russia. In a speech to Congress, he said the money is not charity, but an investment in global security and democracy.
Americans traveling before Christmas could face big trouble getting to their destinations on time because of a massive winter storm. China plans to cut quarantine requirements for overseas travelers in January. According to people familiar with the matter, there will be no more hotel quarantines. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Nets down the Warriors 143-113. In the NHL, the Devils won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's turn to another major story in Washington, D.C., from Ukraine's president visiting to former President Trump's tax returns. Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee voted to release information on the former president's personal and business taxes. They show his financial losses shielded him from paying much income tax since 2015. Now, Republicans are calling the release of these documents a dangerous precedent. Bloomberg's Joe Matthews spoke with one of the committee members, Democrat Dan Kildee of Michigan, who responded to the GOP complaint.
I don't think it sets a dangerous precedent. I actually think the most dangerous precedent that we could set is to have before us evidence that the IRS failed to live up to their own obligation to audit the President of the United States. They simply didn't do it. And we have tax returns that we've been able to examine that show really serious red flags. You know, the notion that the precedent was a dangerous precedent to act, I think the most dangerous precedent would be for Congress to look at those two pieces of information and just say, oh, well. You know, to me, that sends a message. The message being that if you're powerful and wealthy, you can continue to skirt the laws. We decided we're not going to allow that to happen. And so we forwarded this information onto the U.S. House of Representatives with a legislative proposal to fix it. And you know what? That's the job I was elected to do. If it makes some people uncomfortable because they want to continue to sort of, you know, circle the wagons around Donald Trump, they're going to have to explain that, you know, to their constituents, why they would prefer not to act. I just couldn't do it in good conscience.
So what happens next year? How and when will they be made public?
Well, our staff, both the Democratic and Republican staff, are working to redact from those returns any of those sensitive personal pieces of information. You know, Social Security numbers, tax identification numbers, addresses, you know, even bank record numbers, things of that nature should be redacted. We don't want to have that information in public, you know, in public view. But that should take, you know, a matter of hours and days, not weeks. So I would suspect within the next couple of days, those documents will be available.
You've seen them. Are we in for something here?
Yes. People should fasten their seatbelts to take a look at these returns and the lack of documentation for huge cash charitable contributions, for example, or loans. You know, two family members, or, you know, conservation easements that are enormous. And then the lack of responsibility to actually pay taxes. Two of the tax years, President Trump paid $750 in federal income taxes. 1 year, zero. There's no circumstance that I can explain to a teacher or a firefighter back home that they have to pay their taxes or they're going to face severe penalty. And a person who happens to be the president of the United States has the Treasury Department and the IRS essentially under his control, can flaunt the law, not pay taxes, and continue to be one of the wealthiest people in the country, according to his own characterization. I can't explain that.
Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee of Michigan speaking with Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weeknights at 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Now here's Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin with your weather forecast.
The National Weather Service has the region under a wind advisory from 10 p.m. tonight through 10 p.m. Friday night. Cloudy and breezy with rain developing this afternoon, 45 to 50. Rainy, windy tonight, temperatures climbing into the 50s. Rain ends tomorrow, 50 to 55. Tomorrow morning, colder in the afternoon, it's windy. Partly sunny, breezy Saturday, highs 20 to 25. Christmas Day, sunny, 25 to 30. I'm Rob Carolin with your weekend forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
We're coming up to 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with a historic night in Washington. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky made an emotional address in person to a joint meeting of Congress.
Europe is now stronger and more independent than ever. The Russian tyranny has lost control over us.
This was President Zelensky's first trip outside his country since Russia's invasion in February.
And during the trip, Karen, the Biden administration announced nearly $1.9 billion in additional military aid to Ukraine, including a Patriot missile battery. Russian President Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, says Russia has no limitations on its own military spending.
And we're following another story out of D.C. this morning, Nathan. A group of House Republicans has released a counter-report to the House Select Committee's investigation into the January 6th Capitol assault. The January 6th Committee is expected to release its full report today.
All right, let's get the latest down the FTX collapse, Karen. Two top executives have pleaded guilty now to criminal charges. And Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the latest. Steve?
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Ahead of Sam Bankman-Fried's appearance in court today, Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang pled guilty to fraud as prosecutors ramp up pressure in their case against him. The plea deal calls for the government to recommend reduced sentences if they provide substantial assistance in the investigation. Bankman-Fried touched down in New York last night after waiving his right to extradition from the Bahamas. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Well, taking a look at the markets now. Futures are little changed this morning. Global stocks advanced for a third day yesterday as we edge closer to the Christmas holiday. But Brian Jacobson, senior investment strategist with Allspring Global Investments, says markets are pricing in a recession, though there still are buying opportunities.
Look at some of the cyclical names. Maybe look at some small caps, some mid caps, some emerging markets. Let's not forget that this is actually a pretty decent environment where bonds can once again diversify a portfolio.
Allspring's Brian Jacobson says markets are also pricing in lower earnings in 2023.
Now, speaking of earnings, Karen, America's largest memory chip maker, Micron Technology, is out with a lackluster revenue outlook from yesterday. And that led to a warning that Micron will also have to trim its workforce. Taking a look at Micron in early trading, the stock is down 2.8%. Futures, though, are little changed to lower. S&P futures are down 2 points. Dow futures down 29. And NASDAQ futures are lower by 8 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 5/32, yield 3.64%. NYMEX crude's up, too, up 1.6% at $79.57 a barrel. COMEX gold's little change, down $1.10 at $18.24.30 an ounce. The euro right now trading at 1.0642 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And at 5:31 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr to take a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Kind of got to hunker down if we're not traveling, Michael.
One word, Nathan, EGADS.
Yeah.
Millions of Americans taking to the roads and skies before Christmas could face big trouble getting to their destination on time because of a massive winter storm. Several major hubs, including New York City, are all in the path of the storm and face significant disruptions. This traveler in New York was headed towards the storm, trying to get home to Detroit.
I actually was on the airplane waiting to taxi out, and we got canceled going to Bismarck, North Dakota.
Airlines have been canceling hundreds of flights. New York City Mayor Eric Adams defended his record on crime. He wrapped up his first year in office amid a 25% rise in major felonies through November. Mayor Adams says, though, the top line number does not tell the whole story, as he highlighted double-digit drops in the high-profile murders and shootings.
And I'm talking to New Yorkers every day when I'm on the subway system, walking the street, interacting with them in churches, in houses of worship, in synagogues. That's the number one thing on their minds. They want to be safe, and they deserve to be safe.
Mayor Adams gave himself a B-plus in fighting crime in the city. A man accused of wounding 10 people in a mass shooting on a crowded subway train in Brooklyn told his lawyers he'd like to plead guilty next month to all of the charges against him, including terrorism offenses. His attorneys say Frank James wants to plead guilty the first week of January. In April, the shooter set off a pair of smoke grenades and then scattered a barrage of random shots inside the train. One senator may derail the $1.7 trillion spending bill. Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee wants an amendment that would reinstate Title 42. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Auto. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Nixon won 8 in a row in 5 of the 8. They had not allowed 100 points, but at the Garden, Toronto's Pascal Siakam went for over half a 100 by himself. 52 points. The Raptors ended the Knicks' win streak, 113-106. In the loss, 30 points for both Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett, but an off night for Jalen Brunson. He shot just 3 of 14. Nets have won their last 7, 11 of 12 at Barclays. A 143-113 rout of Golden State. Nets led 91-51 at halftime. 9 Nets in double figures. So the Warriors, 2 games, back-to-back nights in New York, and they lost by 38 and 30. Much-needed win for the Devils. They lost their last 6. They rallied to win at Florida 4-2. St. John's lost at Villanova 78-63. Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium to talk about his new 9-year contract and about being named Yankee captain.
We're getting a chance to continue, you know, something the Yankees, you know, are so big on, which is legacy. You know, you get a chance to continue my legacy here in pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
First captain since Derek Jeter, who was in attendance. The numbers in after the stunning Carlos Correa signing. The Mets will have a payroll of $384 million. They'll pay a tax of $111 million, so they'll shell out almost half a billion in 2023. Jets and Jaguars figure to be playing in the rain tonight at MetLife. The Jets out to end a 3-game losing streak. They have dropped to 500. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York will be the fourth state to require salary ranges with job postings when a new law takes effect in September. It applies to all employers across New York with 4 or more workers. This fall, 1 in every 5 people in the U.S. will be living in a state with so-called pay transparency laws. Amazon.com and other big warehouse operators in New York State face new limits on the quota systems they can use to boost worker productivity under legislation Governor Kathy Hochul has signed into law. It's similar to a first-of-a-kind warehouse worker safety law that California enacted in 2021. Netflix will develop a production facility on the former Fort Monmouth campus in Monmouth County, New Jersey. Governor Phil Murphy's office says Netflix plans to commit $848 million in investments to develop the more than 292-acre parcel. It's projected to create more than 1,500 production jobs. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Deciding what can be built where is a perfectly legitimate power of local governments across America. It's also a tool of exclusion that undermines the economy, deepens inequality, and even exacerbates climate change. Particularly in neighborhoods with the best schools and access to jobs, politically active residents, who tend to be older, affluent, and white, have long adopted rules to keep others out. It's a prime example of local government gone wrong. Fortunately, the pro-market and pro-equality aspects of zoning reform give it bipartisan appeal, visible in the support for legislation at the state and national levels. To be sure, zoning reform alone won't solve the country's housing crisis, but it's a task that federal and state governments must urgently undertake. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Another story we're following this morning, pop star Justin Bieber set to score a massive deal that would put his music rights under the ownership of Hypnosis Song Management, an investment entity backed by Blackstone. That's what we're hearing from sources. Bieber's stake in his publishing rights and recorded music catalog could fetch about $200 million. We're told the agreement hasn't been signed. Nothing is imminent, but quite a payday potentially for Justin Bieber if he gets on the parade of artists that are selling their music rights. Futures moving lower on this Thursday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are struggling for direction, and they're trying to hold on to the momentum that propelled the S&P 500 to its best daily gain in 3 weeks. This is investors assess whether the world's biggest economy can skirt worst-case recession scenarios. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, that'll change. So are NASDAQ and Dow futures. The DAX in Germany down about a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 3.64%. The yield of the 2-year, 4.19%. NYMEX crude oil is higher, up 1.7%, up $1.29 at $79.58 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change at $18.24.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.0649 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2097. The yen, 132. And Bitcoin is up 0.25% at about $16,800. And today we are watching for a report on third quarter GDP out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky pressed the U.S. Congress for tanks, planes, and more money to help repel Russia's invasion. In his first trip abroad since the war, Zelensky told a joint meeting of Congress that U.S. support has been crucial so far. A report set to be released today by House investigators claims that then-President Donald Trump criminally plotted to overturn his 2020 election defeat and provoked his supporters to violence at the Capitol with false claims of voter fraud. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Nets downed the Warriors 143-113. In the NHL, the Devils won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:42 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. She's Karen Moscow. And here's some of the other stories we're watching this morning. We've got our eyes on corporate America, starting with Twitter. CEO Elon Musk was on a Twitter Spaces chat this week. He says the platform was on course to hit $3 billion in negative cash flow.
So that's why I spent the last 5 weeks cutting costs like crazy.
Now, Elon Musk does say he plans to step aside as Twitter CEO, though he will keep a close eye on the social platform with a focus on its engineering teams.
Well, Nathan, we have a note from Musk's other company as well. Tesla is offering U.S. consumers $7,500 to take delivery of its two cheapest models before year end. It's a move that's likely to stir up more debate over the extent of the carmaker's struggle with demand. It's highly unusual for Tesla to offer such a perk, as Elon Musk has enforced a no-discount policy going back years.
Well, speaking of cars, Karen, we're going to be keeping an eye on CarMax stock this morning. The used car dealer reports earnings before the opening bell, and analysts do expect a drop in revenue. CarMax is the U.S. leader in used car sales, and it may be better positioned than some of its peers like Carvana and Vroom in a down market. So, yeah, we will definitely be keeping an eye on CarMax this morning.
Yes. Pretty hard to fit a car under a Christmas tree, isn't it?
But you can fit it in a vending machine, apparently.
That's true. Yeah. Indeed. Well, weekly jobless claims data set for release at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. And the report could instill confidence in the fate of the U.S. labor market. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice gives us a preview.
Weekly jobless claims are still running at historic lows. That could change in 2023. The Federal Reserve is poised to keep lifting interest rates to fight inflation by tempering economic growth. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says as far as the central bank is concerned, the labor market remains too tight, underscoring that job openings remain at record highs. Vinny Dow, Judice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Meanwhile, we get existing home sales. We got them yesterday. They fell for a 10th straight month. That extended a record decline. It comes on the heels of a stronger-than-expected consumer confidence report. And we'll also get consumer spending data tomorrow morning.
A sleigh full of economic data before the holiday. Taking a look at oil this morning, Karen. It held gains that were made over the last 3 days as traders weigh concerns that near-term Chinese demand could decline against lower U.S. inventories and a weaker dollar. But, wow, NYMEX crude is surging right now, 1.7% or $1.31. If you've got $79.59, you too can buy a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude. Now let's take a look at our top story this morning. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, his in-person plea for more support and more weapons in an address to a joint meeting of Congress.
Your money is not charity. It's an investment in the global security and democracy that we handle in the most responsible way.
Let's get more now. We're joined live this morning by Michael Winfrey, Bloomberg's economics and politics editor for Central and Eastern Europe. Mike, it's great to speak with you this morning. The message we heard from Zelensky last night on Capitol Hill, Ukraine is alive and kicking. What is the sense from where you sit about how that message was received by lawmakers in the U.S.?
Well, it seems to be very successful. Zelensky got what he wanted, at least for now, which was a new pledge of aid by the Biden administration. And he also got to look Republicans in the eye and give them this emotional appeal before they take over the House in January, because there had been concerns that he might not be able to have as much support as he did under the Democratic House when the leadership changes.
There's not going to just be weapons support that Ukraine is going to need. We're heading into a very cold winter in Ukraine and in much of Central and Eastern Europe. And there's going to be a much greater need for humanitarian and infrastructure support as well, particularly after the onslaught of attacks that Russia's made on Ukraine's power and water infrastructure over the last several weeks.
Yeah, that's right. There are millions of Ukrainians that are without power, water, and heat, most importantly, as the temperatures drop below zero. And there has been a lot of support from the U.S. and Ukraine's allies in terms of supplying generators. But one of the main concerns right now is that Vladimir Putin's military in Russia is rearming. You know, he has conscripted 300,000 more troops, and yesterday his defense minister said that the army would expand even further in terms of manpower. So there are worries that Russia may be planning a new offensive, potentially from Belarus, in the new year.
Was the hope from Zelensky making this trip to the United States to have this seen as something of a pivot point for the war in Ukraine?
Well, I mean, that's really hard to say. One of the big issues now that everyone is discussing is which side is going to be able to arm itself faster. As you probably know, they've been going through tens of thousands of artillery shells per month on each side, and that's been a major part of this war. So Russia, which has been limited by U.S. sanctions, is really struggling to continue to keep up the pace of its military production. And Zelensky, in going to the U.S., is just underscoring how important it is for Ukraine's allies to continue supplying Kiev with aid. So the real question is it going to be enough? And as Zelensky said in his speech yesterday, when he thanked the U.S. and other allies, he said, it's great, but is it enough? Not really.
And it's going to be interesting as well to see whether the U.S. continues to take the lead with this support, because as President Biden alluded to, the idea that even more advanced weapon systems going to Ukraine could lead to something of a fracturing with the alliance. What is the state of the alliance from where you sit? And we've got about 30 seconds left here.
Well, we've seen some reluctance to supply the more advanced weapons, like the U.S. has just pledged a Patriot battery. But it seems that also these red lines that Russia keeps putting down and saying is going to be an escalation, for example, with the HIMARS earlier in the summer, Ukraine's allies continue to sort of push against these and call the bluff. So I believe that the Ukrainians will continue to get better support from their allies as the war progresses.
Thanks, Mike. Great to get a new perspective on this morning after Zelensky's trip to Washington, D.C. That's Michael Winfrey, economics and politics editor for Central and Eastern Europe for Bloomberg News. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are little changed, but in the red. Got S&P futures right now down a point, Dow futures down 16, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 5 points. The 10-year Treasury is now up 5/32. Yield on the benchmark 3.64%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are little changed, and we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.19%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.9%, up $1.53 at $79.82 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.70 at $18.23.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0631 against the dollar. British pound 1.2081. The yen 132.07, and Bitcoin is up 0.2% at $16,800. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We're coming up to 5:56 on Wall Street. Time now for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, we're looking at the Supreme Court, which is off to a historically slow start this term, actually. The justices typically issue at least one opinion in late November or early December, but so far they haven't released any decisions this term. And according to empirical SCOTUS creator Adam Feldman, it's the first time since 1917 we haven't seen a decision from the high court yet. For more on this slow start, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson.
Are they just kicking back and taking it easy, or are there other reasons that people have suggested?
Well, I think it's exactly the opposite of that. So there are a couple of things that are really going on here. And I'll say the first of which is something that could explain why this is something we can expect to see in the future as well, is just that there's been a change in the membership of the court. And so importantly, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg used to really pride herself on getting not just the first opinion out of the term, but really turning around opinions very quickly. And, you know, people speculate that that's in part because she came onto the court at a time when they were hearing many more cases. And so there was just this pressure to turn around those opinions quickly so that there was enough time at the end of the term to get out all of their opinions. Now, the current court, it seems like most of the justices have been on the court when they're accepting far fewer cases. Now we're lucky if we tend to get to 65 these days. And so there's just not that pressure sort of built into their DNA. And so I think this is something we're probably going to be seeing more of in the future.
The last term was the most contentious I can remember in a long time. And this term looks like it's going to be fairly contentious as well, maybe even more contentious. How does that play into getting opinions out?
That's right. So that's actually the second reason why I think that this term in particular, we're seeing a slow start for the justices, is that, you know, often the first opinion in an argued case comes in one of these cases that are argued in October, maybe early November. But this year, the justices have really front-loaded those contentious cases that you're referring to. So if you look at October, you know, we kicked it off with a major challenge to the EPA's abilities to regulate wetlands. It was followed by, you know, a voting case that could change the way that the Supreme Court and all federal courts look at certain claims brought under the Voting Rights Act, and, you know, even a really foundational trademark case that was heard at the end of October. And then if you moved into the beginning of November, it's hard to believe that it was that long ago, but that's when the court heard those cases over the affirmative action in higher education. So, you know, those cases just don't lend themselves to a quick turnaround. Not only are they really hard issues for the justices to sort out, but it's likely that those are going to be divided cases where you're going to have dissenting opinions that sort of go back and forth with the majority opinion before they're ready to let the public kind of see how those disagreements all shook out.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. And you can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast. You can download the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg terminal at BLawGo. Right now, futures are moving just a touch lower. S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 37. NASDAQ futures lower by 7 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 6/32nds. Yield 3.63%. Hour two of Bloomberg Daybreak starts right now.